Hello and welcome. My name is Kyle, and this is How You Level Up, a podcast that decodes language to help you become your best self. Today we ask, what are the three disciplines? It's funny, I grew up not being interested in religion at all, and now here I am, combing through ancient texts to find what I believe are foundational ethics uncovered a millennium ago. That is, what are the three disciplines that can help us in any situation or challenging experience? In Stoicism, a philosophy from ancient Greece, there exists a powerful framework for living a balanced and meaningful life. Ryan Holiday, a favorite author of mine, speaks a lot about the four virtues. He's even written a book for each of them: courage, temperance, justice, and wisdom. These virtues are character traits or qualities that represent excellence of character. They represent what we should aspire to become. Disciplines, on the other hand, are practices or exercises that help us develop those virtues. Aspire all we want without the practice of knowing how to become a character of excellence, we'll probably never make it. The three disciplines are a framework that works together to help us navigate existence with grace. Together, they form a way of understanding ourselves, our relationships with others, and our place in the world. The first discipline is perception. It asks us to see things objectively, without clouding our judgment with unnecessary value labels. When something happens, we naturally form an impression. We can't help it. Our brains want to work in a way that conserves energy and concentration. Our minds often automatically add interpretations that may not be accurate. Through the discipline of perception, we learn to separate raw events from our subjective responses to them, maintaining mental clarity in as many situations as possible. In an example, when dealing with a difficult client who criticizes your work harshly, your immediate reaction might be defensiveness or anger. You might say to yourself, "This client is unreasonable and doesn't appreciate my efforts." The discipline of perception helps you to separate facts from interpretation. This would sound like the client is providing feedback on some aspect of the project. From an objective view, as best we can, you can evaluate the feedback on its merits rather than viewing it as a personal attack. You enable yourself to respond professionally rather than emotionally. You even give yourself the space to potentially improve your work. The discipline of perception is the first practice. It requires us to maintain absolute objectivity of thought. Marcus Aurelius says that we must see things dispassionately for what they are. The impressions we form, those we cannot help, Marcus says, they produce fantasia, a mental impression. In modern terms, fantasia would be called by a cognitive behavioral therapist an automatic thought. Or in neuroscience, fantasia would be the internal neural firing pattern that represents a stimulus before our higher order processing can occur. The second discipline is action. As social creatures, we're designed to live in community with others. The discipline of action governs how we interact with our fellow humans. It reminds us that we're part of a larger whole, like organs in a body or branches of a tree, with responsibilities we have for the collective good. This isn't about treating everyone identically. It's about giving each other and each person what they deserve through just and fair treatment. In an example, of course, let's look at living with your spouse. This presents countless opportunities to practice the discipline of action. When disagreements arise over household responsibilities, financial decisions, or how to spend time together, the discipline of action reminds you that marriage is a partnership, where both individuals contribute to a shared life. We cannot demand equality with every task. We must recognize and respect the different strengths, preferences, and needs of each person. Perhaps your spouse excels at managing finances, while you're better at maintaining social connections. By working together for the collective good of your relationship and life, sometimes compromising and sometimes taking the lead, your household becomes harmonious. As a result, each of you does less work and everyone benefits. The discipline of action is part of our social hardwiring. It does not mean we passively comply and go along with whatever is happening. It means we must actively participate in life. We are part of nature, not separate from it. We live in active cooperation with others. As social creatures, our nature is fundamentally unselfish, working towards the collective good of our circles, as large or small as they may be. Humanity is a singular organism, made up of many humans, like the cells or organs of our body, or the leaves, branches, and the trunk of a tree. The third discipline is that of will. It addresses how we respond to circumstances beyond our control. The discipline of will is the counterpart to the discipline of action. At times, we must take action. Other times, we must accept things as they are. We're responsible for our actions, and we cannot control external events or the actions of others. The discipline of will teaches us that these external things cannot truly harm us unless we perceive them as harmful. By willingly accepting whatever comes our way, including obstacles, challenges, and ultimately death itself, we align ourselves with the Logos, with the Tao, with the natural order of things. In an example, you wake up and discover that water is dripping from your ceiling due to a leak in the apartment above. The discipline of will guides your response to this unexpected inconvenience. Do you curse your bad luck? Do you immediately assume the worst-case scenario about extensive damage? No. You accept that the leak has occurred. It exists. And now it's part of your present reality. While you cannot undo it, you can respond effectively by placing containers under the leak to catch the water. You can contact your landlord or maintenance service. You can move valuable items out of harm's way. By accepting what you cannot change, the existence of the leak, while taking action on what you can control, your response to it, you maintain peace of mind, even in the face of disruption and chaos. The discipline of will governs our approach to things within our control and our attitude to things not within our control. If we act in a way that harms, the harm we do is to ourselves. Stoic philosophers say that acts of wrongdoing, be they torture or theft, harm the agent, not the victim. Acts of nature, such as fires or illness, can harm us only if we perceive them as harmful. In our sanitized world, where does this apply most? It applies to the thing that is promised from birth, that is, death. It is something we cannot prevent and therefore does not create harm. These three disciplines of perception, of action, of willingness are not easy practices. They're not easy exercises. They are possible, and that makes them probable to anyone interested in living a good life, a virtuous life. Marcus Aurelius reminds himself in his journal, famously known as the book Meditations, objective judgment, unselfish action, willing acceptance of all external events, because he aims for inner peace. We should aim for such heights too, for that is all we need. Thank you for listening to How You Level Up. If you're enjoying the show, subscribe and give a 5-star rating. There are new episodes each month asking questions about timeless communication lessons. Language is a medium for sharing, and the knowledge unpacked here can be applied to anyone, anywhere, facing any challenge. If there's a question or topic you'd like me to dive into next, send a note to any of my connected social media accounts. This is all about how you level up.